Welcome to our Kingdom Culture podcast. For today's message, we are thankful for what God is doing through this podcast to encourage and transform lives around the world. If you have a story to share about how God has encouraged or transformed your life through this podcast, we would love to hear about it by emailing us at mystory@kingdomculture.ca. If you would like to support this ministry financially to help us bring messages like this to you every week, you can do so online at kingdomculture.ca at the Give option. We also would love to connect with you on our social media, on Instagram and Twitter at KC Ottawa, and Facebook at Facebook/Kingdom Culture Ottawa. We pray that you would experience God today and be encouraged through today's message. Enjoy.
So good to have you in the house with us. Man, I feel like I've been away for a little bit here, and it's so good to be back. Usually I'm not, this month was really odd and different. But it's so good to be back with our family here and so good to see you. And last time I saw you, we actually had another themed Sunday. It was our healing Sunday. And I shared a story of my own journey, of my own healing. And it's been an amazing, amazing last several weeks because I got to share what I shared with you guys four Sundays ago all around Brazil. And it was powerful. I got the chance to minister to thousands and thousands of people in Brazil. And I remember, man, even just one night alone, we had a lineup so big of notable testimonies of healing and the miraculous that we could barely even get through it. It was so long. And just the things that God did while I was away are just absolutely incredible. And I'm so thankful. So thankful to be able to come back and reinvest. That's what it is. Reinvest everything that I've been able to receive. You know, that's the nature of the kingdom, is to receive and then to give. To receive and then to give, right? And so I just believe today, for many of you, you're going to get something and you're going to take something away from this experience. And I believe you're going to be encouraged. I believe God is going to speak to you. If you just open up your heart and open up your mind and say, okay, God, I'm willing to just receive. I'm willing to hear. I'm willing to get whatever it is you want to give me. I believe God will be faithful to do that. Today, we're talking about the prophetic, but we're not talking about it in a way that I would normally talk about it. And teach on it, because usually, if you want to go deep into this topic, which is a very somewhat controversial topic, I would encourage you to take my school. I have a whole in-depth study school that I've taught around the world, and I've brought thousands of people through this school over the years around the world. And I would encourage you, you can visit supernaturalleadership.com and you can get it there. It's an on-demand school. You get a 120-page manual, basically two manuals and workbooks to go through all the course curriculum. But I would encourage you to go through that. If you want to dive into developing your leadership and making it a little more supernatural as it pertains to the prophetic, which we're going to dive into today a little bit, I would encourage you to do that. I want to open up with John chapter 10, verse 27, but we're not going to stay here. I'm just going to give you a quick little overview about something to prime the pump a little bit, because so many people have so many questions. So many questions around prophecy, around the prophetic. Let me just say this at the forefront. To be prophetic is simply to represent the heart and the mind of God everywhere you are. Period. It's very simple. And everyone in this room is called to be a representation of the heart and mind of God. Because the prophetic word is an extension of the heart and mind of the Father, the Creator, the one who wants to take what's dark and turn it into something that's visible. Light, transformation, change. And so John chapter 10, 27, Jesus says this very powerful statement, and it's the crux of everything that I'm talking about this morning. And it's, my sheep hear my voice. If Jesus is the shepherd and you are a sheep, because you're called sheep, Jesus is the great shepherd. He calls you sheep. If you are following Jesus, if you are in a relationship with Jesus. Now, maybe you're in this room, somebody invited you. You don't know where you stand in your relationship with Jesus. Well, I think you will by the end of this experience. but you know, maybe you don't know where you stand. That's okay. But if you are someone who is in relationship with the great shepherd, Jesus Christ, you have the promise of hearing the voice of God. You hear the voice of God every day, but you just don't know you hear the voice of God every day. The problem's never been about hearing. It's always been about recognizing what it is that God is saying. You can be a baby, a newborn baby, and you're hearing your mother and your father talk, but you have no ability to recognize what it is that they're saying. But as you grow up as a baby and you move from you know, day one to 9 months old to 12 months old to 1 year to 2 year, you start to develop an ability to recognize the language of your mother and the language of your father. It takes time. But the baby was always hearing the voice of their mother, always hearing the voice of their father, but it just took time to recognize what it is that the voice was saying. So everybody in this room hears the voice of God. You just don't recognize it. God will speak to you in a dream, and you're like, well, I don't really believe that, you know, dreams are just a subconscious thing, and I watched too many movies tonight, and so I had a dream, and I dreamt about the movie, and we put everything off as just life. Let me tell you, I've had some of my most powerful moments in life come from a dream. Because I made a decision a long time ago, a biblical decision, a biblical one, that I would never reject any dream. Because God, listen, some of you don't shut up during the day. So the only time he can speak to you is in the night. You just talk, and you don't listen. So once you're sleeping, then he can drop some direction in your life. He can drop, you know, this is part of your next season. He can drop some encouragement. He can drop some hope. But if you've only chalked up your dream life to the movies that you watch and the pizza that you ate the night before, and you only chalk it up to that, you're going to miss God every time. Because what you value in your life, you make room for increase. If you do not value the little loaves that are in your life, you will not multiply those loaves. Jesus only multiplied the loaves because he valued the little that he had, and he blessed it, gave it to his disciples, and when they distributed the little they had, it multiplied. When you distribute and you honor the little that you have, it multiplies in your life. You honor the few dreams that you had, you pay attention to those dreams, they will multiply. It's a principle in the kingdom. They will multiply in your life. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. He does not say they only hear when they're good boys, when they come to church, they do the routine, they do the religious thing, you know, when they go to church on Christmas, Easter only. We call those the CEOs, the Christmas, Easter only people. You know, we go through the routine, we only do, you know, the bare minimum, you know, and so therefore I do the bare minimum. God must not want to speak to me. He only speaks to the men and women of God. He only speaks to the people on the platform. That is a lie from the pit of hell. He is speaking to you all the time about your business, about your parenting, about your marriage, about your leadership, about your personal life. You just don't recognize it yet because you've not developed an ear to recognize it yet. You're hearing. What about the neighbor or the person, the same person you had for the last 5 years, you know, constantly berating you with the same message? Maybe that's God. Maybe it's God. You know, I thank God for the haters. I thank God for the haters. Because God will use the haters to remind me that I'm not living for the praise of men. And so God will speak even through the haters and even through the word curses. Because we got people cursing this church all the time, just so you know. You might not know it, but behind the scenes, we got people cursing this place all the time. Cursing Michelle and I all the time. Can't wait for the day you fall. All the time. But we thank God for those people. You know why? Because they remind us that we're not living for the praise of men. I live for an audience of one. And so even through the haters, God can speak as reminders of what we're about, what we're into. Job chapter 33, verse 14 says this. Let me just reiterate this point to you, that God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it. He's always speaking again and again. But people are just stupid sometimes, right? Come on, admit it. We all are a little bit of stupid sometimes. We're a little bit of stupid sometimes where we just, it's over and over again, repeat it. It's like you wake up at the same hour at 3:33 a.m. and all you do every single night is say, what a coincidence. It's like, that's a spirit of stupid that's on you. To not be aware that that's not a coincidence. The same thing keeps happening because someone's trying to get your attention. I call it a godsidence. Because there are no coincidences in the kingdom. God's never up in heaven being like, oh my gosh, man, I didn't know that was going to happen. Shoot, I should have pre-planned that because that would have been really cool. That's a great coincidence. No, it's a godsidence. God planned it. He pre-planned it. God orders the steps of the righteous. It's laid out for you. So all you are doing, you are literally walking and weaving in the journey in the already pre-planned plan for your life. But will you wake up and will you be aware of what it is that he's trying to say to you? I mean, just last week, I had this dream. You know, I had this dream about this guy at my gym just last week. And I could see into the soul. I could see into his soul. I could see some of the stuff that he was going through, some of the challenges that he was facing in his dream. And I was in the dream. I was getting a word, a prophetic word for him in the dream. And I could see what was happening in his present life, and I could also see what was happening in his past life. And so I had this word. I went to the gym that morning, and I'm at the gym, and I'm like wondering if I'm going to see that guy. Okay, you know, I just had a conversation with him maybe 3 weeks prior for the first time, really, like a real conversation. And I at the end of my workout, I'm on the treadmill doing a little steady state incline for those of you that do cardio. And I'm some of you need to do cardio, but anyways, I'm joking. But I'm on this steady state incline. Now you're offended and you want to leave, but that's okay. But it's a word. Maybe it's a word of knowledge. You need to do more cardio. So I'm on this treadmill, and I'm this guy. The guy that I had the dream about, literally, it was all open. He comes right beside me on the treadmill, and I've never, after years of being at this gym and seeing this guy, he's never sat beside me or stood beside me or walked beside me on a treadmill. But that morning he did. Now I could have said, oh, what a coincidence. I had a dream about him last night and he's beside me right now. What a coincidence. Some of us would think that way, right? It's like God is speaking, but we're not recognizing. It's like, what a coincidence. It just happens to come beside me on the morning of my dream. Like, what a coincidence. So he starts talking to me. We start talking and I'm like, actually, man, this is awesome that you're here right now because you were in my dream last night. Now, imagine that, eh? Like, but this doesn't happen. This is normal for me, by the way, and I always have these conversations. But for most people, that's not normal. I was in your dream last night. I'm working out. Like, what do you mean? Yeah, well, you were in my dream, and I believe that God speaks, and I believe God is real, and that he communicates to us in dreams. And I just feel like I have a word for I have a word of encouragement for you. And here's what I saw, and, man, he was blown away. This guy was like, I'm going to come visit your church. But here's the thing, and it's a long conversation. We talked for about probably 15 minutes on the treadmill, and I got to minister, prophesy over him. I say all that to say is if you don't develop a learning ear to recognize that there are no coincidences in life, and you begin to lean in, you will see an explosion of God's power through your life. But until you do, you will live a very bored, religious, spiritual life. That's why this teaching this morning, and what I'm talking about this morning, is one of the most powerful teachings that you can receive to elevate and make your life a lot more fun. Because you learn to lean in to the very person that's leading you. How could you be led by a person who does not communicate? How can you be led by somebody who you do not recognize in their communication? It's very hard. And God communicates many different ways. And I have whole teachings on the 15 ways, biblically, that God may try to communicate to us. It's not just through this book. If God wants to tell you who your wife is, you can't open the book necessarily and find the answer to that. You can play biblical roulette all you want and say, God, speak to me, God, speak to me, God, speak to me. And look, it's like Rebecca. Is there a Rebecca in here? You're my wife. Like, that may work. It may happen. But Harley's not in this book. Some names are in this book. Right? There's lots of names that aren't in this book. There's no Sean in the book. Where is the name Sean? It's like, what happened to that name? You don't see babies coming out of the womb these days. Like, this is my baby Sean. Like, it's such a weird name now. This is my baby Sean. This is Fred. Here's my baby. Like, the names change, right? Names are always changing. You can't find everything in the book. But what you do have in this book is the framework to test everything. The framework and the filter to test everything. If we don't know this word, we won't be able to discern what's of the soul and what's of the spirit. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and it divides soul and it divides spirit. It will help you determine what's of you and what's of him. Because it's spirit-to-spirit communication. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 says it's his spirit that bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. It's spirit-to-spirit communication, not spirit-to-soul. The soul makes up you, your mind, your will, and emotions. Your spirit is the God version of you that was always destined to be alive and awakened to the reality of who God is. That's why the Bible talks about in John chapter 3, you must be born again, born from above of spirit, a newness of life, to be reborn. You were already born once. How do you be born again? When you let Jesus become center piece in your life, when he becomes leader in your life, there is a rebirth that happens on the inside. The shroud of darkness over your spirit consciousness lifts off, and all of a sudden you're alive in him now. And that's how we communicate. That's where our relationship is deepened. It's spirit to spirit. Are you with me here? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. As pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Paul said this, pursue love. For all the cessationists or former cessationists in the room, those that don't believe, this is still for today. Paul never said, pursue love for a very short amount of time. You have a very short, small window to pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. And unless you get the gift, it's going to run out. No, this is an invitation for all of us to pursue love and desire the supernatural, especially that you may prophesy. Because there's something that happens when you learn to be a prophetic representation for the heart and mind of God. It changes atmospheres. It changes atmospheres. It releases the kingdom in the atmosphere. When you can speak on behalf of God and you can encourage. How many ever felt encouraged before? Anybody ever felt encouraged? Anyone ever got an encouraging word before? Everybody probably in this room at some point. What does it do for you? It changes the atmosphere and the condition of your heart. All of a sudden, you feel alive. You're like, man, I feel so good. You know, when your wife encourages you, how many men in here? Come on, men, married men. When you get an encouraging word from your wife, it's like you feel like a million gazillion bucks. Like, you're just like, I'm on top of the world. Right? I'm giving a little nudge to the women out here. But then women, when you get affirmed and loved by your husband, what does that do for you? Makes you feel alive, protected, covered, honored, right? It changes the atmosphere. See, now you put God into the mix, and what God sees about a situation, what God sees about a person, it changes the atmosphere and the context and the culture of the person's heart. Verse 3, two verses later in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strength, for their encouragement, and for their comfort. Why would you not want to encourage, strengthen, and comfort people? Why would you not want to do that? Now, we're not talking about, and I don't have time. If you want my school, I break everything down, the difference between the gift of prophecy and just recognizing the voice of God. We break all this down. I also break down the difference between, you know, the spirit of prophecy, because there's a spirit of prophecy we see in Scripture, which we're going to talk about in a few moments, and the prophet. But I'm not going to get into that. I don't have time to get into that. But we are going to dive into a passage in 1 Samuel chapter 10. Go there with me really quick. I came up a little later than I wanted to, but 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 5, this is right after, and then in the same context of Samuel, who was one of the greatest prophets that had ever lived in Israel at this point, anoints Saul as the first king of Israel. So Saul anoints, the people are complaining, they want a king, so Saul begrudgingly anoints or Samuel begrudgingly anoints Saul as the first king of Israel. And it says in the context of the confirmation and in the context of this call that was placed upon Saul to be king, it says in verse 5, Samuel says this to Saul. He says, after that, speaking of a few other things that will be confirmation, confirming to you, after that you will go to the Gibeah of God, where there is a Philistine outpost, and as you approach the town, you will meet a procession of prophets coming down from the high place. So back in this culture, there were what we call companies of prophets, people that would get together and they would just prophesy. They would prophesy. They would prophesy with music. Music, that's why music's so important, especially in this space. When I operate very differently when I'm here than when I do when I'm traveling. Partly because what I have to be here is I have to be a balanced father. When I travel, I'm very zoned in on a very specific type of ministry. And a lot of it is what I'm talking about right now, today. And I'm with unfamiliar people, so it's very different for me. The way that my gift operates when I'm away from the house. But here we have a procession of prophets coming down from the high place with lyres, not lyres like people like who lie, but instruments, timbrels, pipes, and harps being played before them, and they will be prophesying. So music was a part of it. Music was a part of elevating perspective so we can get an elevated word. You hear that? Music helps us elevate our perspective. That's why worship is so important. The gathering of worship is so important, because when we forget about, because worship is not about you. Like, you should never leave worship and be like, I didn't like the worship. If you say that, then worship's about you. Who are you worshiping? That's not about you. It's an offering. You're giving God your worship. Now, you may not jive with the style. You may think it's too loud, but you can't say, I didn't like the worship, because worship is not about you. It's about him. It's vertical, not horizontal. I'm not there to get. I'm there to give, to honor, to declare who God is, to remind myself when I'm discouraged who he is, what he's like. The power of praise, the power of worship, it elevates our thinking to think more like him. Because his ways, Isaiah says, are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So it says here in verse 6, the Spirit of the Lord. So now they're gonna come down as a procession of company of prophets. They're going to come down from a high place. So they were in a high place. They weren't in a low place, very powerful. They weren't in a low place. They weren't in a valley. They came from a high place, an elevated place. And they came down from that elevation, and they were prophesying with instruments. And it says in verse 6, and the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, speaking to Saul. When you see this happening, and when you get around the prophets who are prophesying, the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with them. You didn't go through prophecy 101. You didn't have any instruction. You just got in the right environment, and you became a product of your environment. How many know, if you want to be a good business person, get around some good business people. You are a product of your environment. You want a spiritual awakening? Get around people who have a spiritual awakening in their life. You want to die spiritually? Hang around a bunch of dead people that say they believe in God, but don't live it out. We call those unbelieving believers. That do the routine of religion, but are not living it out. I'm sorry, my God is a 24-hour God. And God's going to speak to me at the church. He's going to speak to me at the gym, at the grocery store, at the restaurant. That's the God that I know. That's the God I know. He's with me all the time. But so your environment is everything. So Saul, who wasn't a prophet, gets around the environment and he begins to prophesy because the spirit that was on them came upon him. It says, listen to this. It says, and you will be changed into a different person. You'll be changed. When you get in the right environment, you will be changed into a different person. The power of being with the right people at the right time in the right environment will transform your life. You wonder why you're missing out and you feel like you're so far behind. You say you've been a believer for 40 years, but like what I'm talking about is so foreign to you. Listen, this is normal Christianity. It's in this book. And if it's in this book, I want it. I want to eat it. It's my meal every day. And maybe you feel like you've missed it. I would propose to you the only reason why you've maybe missed it is because you've been in the wrong environment too long. You're always in the wrong environment. You have to be in environments where you can be invested in, where you can receive, where you can be influenced. So then you can go out into your workplace and influence. If you truly want to be a king in the culture, you have to first understand your role as priest in the house of God. David, who was the greatest king that ever lived, his number one heart was ministering to God day and night. And then he was an amazing, successful, significant king. Because he understood his role as priest. He understood his role first as the spiritual part of his calling. So that then he could rule as king in the culture. You want to be this big businessman. You want to rule. You want to do the things. You want to influence culture. Let me just tell you, if you're going to do that significantly and leave an eternal impact, understand your role as priest in the house of God first. Your role with him. Your friendship with him is the most important thing. The time you spend with him is the most important thing. It will overflow into everything you touch and everything you do. Your parenting, your leadership, everything you touch and do, it will overflow into that. If you don't have that, you have nothing. I want to talk really quickly about understanding prophecy through this passage. Understanding it. You know, something about Samuel the prophet, who's one of the greatest prophets that ever lived up until that time. Samuel, around the age of 4 and 5, it was said of Samuel that he would hang out in the context or in the environment of where the Ark of the Covenant was. The Ark of the Covenant was the most holy box in the world. And it represent the power and presence of God. Okay? The protection, the security. I don't have time to get into all of that. But it traveled with with Israel in the wilderness. And it was placed in the tent of meeting, and it was the most holy thing. Okay, and there were certain elements and things in that box that represented the power and presence of God. But if you got around it and you weren't like in a good place, I mean, you could die touching it. That's how holy it was. Okay, and so here we have Samuel the prophet, who literally spent time at the age of 4 and 5 just hanging out around the ark. So he was in the environment growing up of the presence of God. And it wasn't until his later teenage years that he was called to be a prophet. If you read the 1 Samuel chapter 3, you can read about it. 1 Samuel chapter 3, God calls Samuel 3 separate times, and he has no idea what he's hearing. He's hearing, remember, we all hear the voice of God. He's hearing a voice, but he's not recognized the voice of God. In that time, you know, it was a different stage of life in that time. It was dark in that season. We read it in the Bible. It was dark in that season. There was like a block in that season. There was a cloud. There was a shroud. There was a disconnection in that season from this type of ministry. But then one day, God calls Samuel, who's hanging out in the presence of God by the Ark of the Covenant. He hears a voice. He thinks it's his mentor, Eli, and he goes back to him every time. He's like, "What did you say to me?" Eli's like, "I didn't say anything to you, bro. Go sit down." By the third time, Eli, his instructor, is like, "I think this might be God." And he said, next time you go back, it was the fourth time, next time you go back, respond and say, "Your servant is listening." And that was the beginnings of Samuel being called to be one of the greatest prophets that had ever lived. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 19, it says about Samuel, the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. This sounds exactly like Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. That speaks of the words of God not falling to the ground. That my word, he says, my word will not return to me void, but it will accomplish what it was sent to accomplish. It will prosper for the thing it was sent to prosper in. My word will not return to me void. If God has said it, it will be. And this is the conduits that we are called to be conduits of what God says. And we, because we're human, we may miss it at times. We may make mistakes at times. But here, let me just tell you this. Old covenant responsibility is very different than new covenant responsibility. I'll tell you why. It's not time to teach on this. But old covenant responsibility, the prophets, the priests, and the kings, or the judges, were like the stand-ins for God to the people. People did not have access to God the way that we do now in the new covenant. That's why it's a better covenant. It's a new covenant, it's a better covenant. In the old covenant, under the old covenant, God chose specific people. And the only way to test a true prophet in the old covenant was that none of their words returned to them void. In the sense that they were accurate all the time. There was a great responsibility under the new covenant because they were the stand-ins. They were the mediators between God and the people. But now Jesus, the mediator, broke that chain. He broke that link and said, now all have access to my presence. All have access to the assignment over their life. All have access 24 hours a day. We can boldly, Hebrews 4 verse 16, boldly approach the throne of grace to obtain mercy in time of need. All of us, every one of us in this room. And now the new covenant way to test a prophecy, to test an accurate prophetic word, is the words. We weigh the words and we test the spirit behind the word. You didn't test the spirit back then because there was no ability to do that. Because not everybody had the presence of God in ability to do that. There were chosen people. Now to the new covenant, our responsibility is different. And now we are all called to encourage, strengthen, and comfort. Are you with me? I go deeper, way deeper into this in my school, and I would encourage you to get into that. But I want to talk about a few things here. Man, I'm really behind. That's okay. Number one, write this down. Prophecy thrives in community. You want to be a part of a house. You want to be a part of a church that honors this. Let me just tell you, because there's a reason why Paul says especially, because the atmosphere changes when you release an encouraging word from heaven into a room, into a situation. I've done this in business rooms with board members. I've done this in secular businesses where I'll come in and I'll do this exactly, and I'll prophesy and I'll speak to people. And I'm telling you, it changes the atmosphere. It transforms people. People are like so caught off guard. It's not about coming in and being this like trying to show off or anything. It's about being supernaturally natural. And because you love people, you want to encourage people. You don't have to go in and say, thus saith the Lord, and be weird at all. And a lot of people do that kind of weird thing, and they block themselves off from being able to influence the culture. I actually love working with business people and going into their businesses and doing this because, man, I don't think I've ever had somebody be like, you know, well, yeah, well, it stirs stuff up for sure. There's definitely things that stir up in it because, you know, once they find out what you believe and who you are. But at the same time, like, I have seen the most transformation happen, more transformation happen in the marketplace walking in this than I've seen anywhere else. Like bona fide, notable transformation. But prophecy thrives in community. Write that down. Thrives in community. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 5. He says, you will meet a procession, a company. The word is company. Like a community of prophets coming down from the high place. That procession is a unified, twisted together, unified. The word means tied together. A tied together community of prophets prophesying. And I'm so thankful for, but I could tell you so many different words. I mean, you heard the story of my own journey. I shared for the first time four or five weeks ago about the brain tumor that I had that was healed. Like supernaturally, medically documented scans, notable, documented by two separate doctors, totally healed. I'm not just saying this, like medically documented, communicated. And I had this brain tumor for 19 months. Only a select group of people knew about it. About 45, 50 people knew about it here within the house and around the world. 19 months, I had this high-risk macro brain tumor that I didn't know that one day, you know, someone would call me and say, you have 6 months to live. I lived in that space. Before I got the diagnosis, 1 month before I got the diagnosis, Harley came into my house. and who was just leading on the stage here, our worship pastor here. She came into our house. She was in our entryway of our house. My wife was in the entryway talking to her, and I was in the kitchen. And she says, we were praying or whatever, and I feel like the word of the Lord for this year, for this season, is that God is going to heal tumors and cancer. And my wife looks at her and says, well, I hope it's nobody in this room. Little did we know that 1 month later, I would be diagnosed with a brain tumor. And, you know, but I look back on those moments and all those little prophetic, because it was a prophetic word. Those prophetic words actually encourage, strengthen, and comfort and shape and frame how we position ourselves on the next season. If you don't have this active in your life, you are missing out on health and strength in your journey. Because you'll be walking around like, I don't know what's going on. I can't see through this crisis. No, when you get a prophetic word like that, you see through the crisis that you're in. You see the other side of the storm. But if you don't have this active in your life, all you're going to see is the problem. All you're going to see is the darkness. All you're going to see is the storm, because you have no way out. There's no word that speaks to you getting out of this. That's why we need this in our life. It needs to be active in our life. And everyone in this room, whether you're a pre-believer and you're on a journey into believing in Jesus, or you're currently following Jesus, everybody in this room, let me just tell you this. God wants and is speaking to you all the time. It just takes you positioning yourself to begin to recognize it. Are you hearing this? Number two, prophecy comes from above. Write that down. Once again, it's about being friends with God. Now, you may have a gift of prophecy, and you can abuse that gift. I don't have time to get into that. But forget the gift of prophecy for a second. You are prophetic by virtue of just relaying the heart and mind of the Father, wherever you are, to an individual in your life. You are being prophetic, and everyone in this room can operate that way. Prophecy comes from above, but it comes out of relationship. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 5, the latter part of it says, the prophets were, there was a procession of prophets, and they were coming down from the high place. The high place. They were going up and they were coming down. They were going up and they were coming down. It kind of sounds like John chapter 1, verse 51. It sounds like Genesis, I believe it's 32, where Jacob set up a place to sleep, and he had a vision, had a dream in the night, and a ladder was set up between heaven and earth, and angels were ascending and they were descending. And that spoke to John chapter 1, verse 51, that upon the Son of Man, angels would ascend and descend. That Jesus would be the ladder. Jesus was Jacob's ladder. Jesus is the mediator. He's the bridge between heaven and earth. And angels ascend and come down. They go up, they get revelation, they come down, and they release it. We are called to ascend that ladder, to go up, get revelation, get understanding, get perspective, and come down and bring it into our business. Bring it into our family. Bring it into any form of leadership. Bring it into our parenting style. We have to go up. We have to go up with him, get an elevated perspective, get his mind, his heart, come down, and then administrate that which we are seeing, that which we are hearing, into the everyday of our life. And if we don't, we will miss out. We will miss the reward of what God wants to give us in every part of our life, because we choose not to be friends with God. Listen, the world's going to give you all kinds of things, all kinds of options. You could go to sex, you could go to drugs, you could go after money. You think that's going to satisfy you? The only thing, when you die, and everyone will tell you this, Steve Jobs on his deathbed, his biggest regret were not paying attention to the things that really mattered. It's in his book. The biggest things he regrets. You have all the money in the world at the end. If you miss out on doing what really matters, you will live in much deep regret on your deathbed when you die. But friends of God, people that go up and come down consistently, go up and come down, probably won't live in the same regret. Because they're making him the priority. They realize that he is the priority, and he makes everything successful. Not just successful, significant. I don't want to be successful. I want to be significant. The world defines how to be successful. Do this, have this amount of money, retirement, great. I don't want to be successful. I want to be significant. Because significance is remembered. Success is forgotten. People think about significance. They think about, like, what legacy did you leave behind? Who were you? Who were you as a father? Who were you as a man? Who were you as a friend? Who were you as a leader? How did you live your life? Significance, not success. Prophecy comes from above. Man, like I 2009, I know we're all Canadian probably in this room. I had a prophetic word given to me in a dream about the national anthem lyrics changing. 2009, and I shared it publicly. 2009, I saw sexual perversion corrupt the lyrics of the national anthem. In 2009, little did I know that 10 years later in 2019, they would change the lyrics of our national anthem to accommodate the perversion of our culture and the confusion of our culture. To partner with this, like, everything is toxic, everything is bad. If you're a man, you're bad by being a man. And I saw that 10 years prior. You know what that does for me? It helps me position myself to pray and posture my spirit in the right perspective when I can foresee stuff like this happening. I would rather know what's going to happen than be shocked when it does and not know how to manage myself. So I thank God for every future-focused word that I've ever got, because it allows me to position myself, to posture myself. Are you hearing this? Like the word that Harley gave about the healing of brain tumors allows me and allows people like me, a word like that, to live a life not in denial, but to know God's promise, so I can position myself to live out and function and not be bombarded with my crisis, but be bombarded with my assignment. And that's the word for us. Let your assignment be more important than your crisis. What you are called to be and what you are called to do. Number three, write this down. Prophecy changes the atmosphere. Changes the atmosphere. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6. The Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with them. Powerfully upon you. The Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with them. It changes the atmosphere because of the Spirit of the Lord coming upon you. That word for come upon literally means to break out or to come mightily on or to allow you to push through and push forward. Now, I remember a story where I was in this meeting once, and when I travel often, I haven't taught on this on a Sunday in a long time. So if you're new with us, like, this is a little bit of a different theme this morning. This is not necessarily a Sunday theme, I would say, but it's okay. This is more of a school theme. Let's get into it. Let's dive into it. Precept upon precept. Let's go through the Bible together about it. But this is a little bit of a different Sunday, and I remember I was in this room, and I was traveling, and usually when I travel, before I pray for healing or pray for the sick, I prophesy, because I know that prophecy changes the atmosphere. It lifts the heaviness out of the atmosphere. It shifts things. It's like when God said, let there be light, he said that when there was darkness. Sometimes I get into a meeting and it just feels like darkness. It feels like just heavy. It feels heavy. Like everyone's like, Canadian, parking was inconvenient. It's too early in the morning to come to church. Why is it so loud in here? Where are the earplugs? Why isn't there a bass player or guitarist on the stage? Why are the drums so loud? Oh my gosh, how long is this going to be? When's the guy going to come up and speak? And why does the guy look like not a pastor? Where's his suit? And they just, we go through this. And it feels dead sometimes. But the reason why it feels dead is because you're dead. You come into church, you are a contributor. You're contributing to the environment. If you're dead, other people who maybe are thinking about being dead will become dead, because you're influencing them now to become dead. It's like cells. It's cancer cells. Once one cell gets divided and there's a division of cells, they begin to mimic each other. And then cancer begins to form. It's like that in the body of Christ. It just takes a few awakened people, though, hopefully, to defibrillate people back to life. Be like, you guys want one life to live. Don't live like a Canadian. Live like a believer that actually knows what they believe. And so, you know, I'll come into a meeting and it's like dead, it's dry, it's religious. People look like, and here's the thing. I've seen people at hockey games, at parties. They're the life of the party. They come to church and it's like, it's like they're a permanent Baptist. I'm happy. I'm really happy. Can't you tell that I'm happy? The joy of the Lord is upon me. Arms crossed, like, no, it's a true thing. Sorry if you're a Baptist, but it's a true thing. We're not called to be Canadian. We're not called to be our denomination. We're called to be kingdom. This is period. And be awakened. That's why I don't like people say, like, what are you? Like, oh, we're like charismatic. I don't know. Like, we're biblical. We're biblical. David, before the ark of the Lord, took his clothes off and danced like in a diaper, basically, while he slit and cut animal sacrifices. So imagine, it's like a horror show. He's worshiping in an undignified way, and it's a bloody cesspool of sacrificial animals all over there. He's half naked. I'm not saying get naked. I'm not saying do any of that. But what I'm saying is that we need to be a little more like David sometimes and be undignified and not care about what people think so much. Because you're going to get to heaven one day and God's going to be like, man, you just were so afraid of what people thought all the time. Like, you were clammed up. You had your religious panties in a knot all the time. And you were just always just stuck, like spiritually constipated. I know I'm using a lot of aggressive language right now. You're like, man, this guy just came back from three weeks on a trip. And I'm just like, you know, but it's true. Like, we have to wake up. And hopefully I can play a part in helping us wake up a little bit. So I was in this meeting, and it was heavy like this, and I began to prophesy, and God began to move. And you could feel God moving in the atmosphere. And honestly, I we hadn't even moved in and prayed for healing yet. And there was a guy who was on stage who was one of the worship leaders. And I didn't know this, but he had no eardrum in one of his ears, completely deaf and no eardrum in one of his ears. He had one really good ear, but one ear was completely deaf, no eardrum. And in this atmosphere, I just pointed at the guy like this. I mean, it was one of those moments where it was like heaven was like really, really present in the room. Like, people were aware of heaven in the room. I pointed at the guy. And when I pointed at the guy, something popped in his deaf ear. And he felt oil go into his head. And for the first time since birth, he could hear 100%. God recreated an eardrum in his ear. Could not hear. Say, when that happened, the place blew up. Like, it was pandemonium in the room. But here's what I want to say around that is, like, if you want to change the atmosphere so that people can receive a miracle, encourage. And that's what we're going to do at the very end of this experience in just a few moments. Number four, last point, and I'm done. Prophecy transforms us. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6. The Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. You will be changed into a different person. I can't tell you how many times I've been in moments like this, just moments like this, hearing teaching on this and being changed into a different person. Because all of a sudden, my mindset is broken. Old mindsets are broken. I see different. I feel different. I'm open in ways that I wasn't open before. Prophecy transforms us, and I believe this, that God is going to touch many people in this room. I want to invite the ministry team, and I want you to stand with me. I want you to stand with me right now. We're going to invite our ministry team. We have an amazing team of people that are ready to pray with you. And believe with you. Whoa, what's going on? Believe with you and pray with you this morning. And I'm going to invite them down quickly to be available. But what I want to do first is if there are people in this room and you don't know what would happen to you if you were to die today, you don't have that assurance. Maybe you're searching, you're looking for God, you're like, what is truth? Who is he? Someone brought you here, they invited you here, but you're not really sure what you believe. I just believe that today you're here for a reason. I didn't believe in Jesus until I was just about to turn 19 years old, and I had an encounter in my car on the 417 that changed everything for me. I didn't believe that Jesus was God. I didn't believe that he was raised from the dead. Truly, I had this moment where God spoke to me. I didn't know that God even spoke. I wasn't around a culture where that was talked about. I didn't think that was even possible. And God spoke to me a very, 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 very loud word. He said, make a choice. And in that moment, I knew it was Jesus speaking to me. I knew it was him communicating to me. And I just believe that this morning, for many of you, you're being given an opportunity to make a choice. Maybe for some of you, it's like you've been around religion. You've been around church. And you've just been around like the dead logs, the dead wood. It's just dead. Like you don't feel connected. It's just dead. It's routine. It's religion. But maybe for the first time, you're like, man, maybe there's more. Let me tell you, there is more. There's a lot more. And if you put yourself in the right environment in this season, everything will change in your life. Everything will change. So maybe that's you. Maybe you've been around church culture. Maybe you've been around dead wood. Maybe you've been around religion, and it's time for a change. Or maybe you're in this room and you've never surrendered your life fully to Jesus. I want to give you an opportunity to do that, because it's the most important thing that you can do.